It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. New Mexico's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate was 5.1% in January, up from 5% the previous month. State labor officials announced the numbers Monday. Nationally, the jobless rate in January was 4%. Yesterday, we heard from Dr. Jonathan Overpeck, a climate scientist at the University of Michigan, about the dangers New Mexico faces in the wake of our changing climate. In the second of their two-part discussion, Michael Hernandez speaks with Overpeck about ways to solve climate change and how local students taking part in citizen science help make a difference.
So we saw Vista Middle School students take part in activities like measuring groundwater levels and also collecting data on plant debris in the bosque. How does that kind of work that the students are doing, how does that help scientists to better understand the changing climate?
Well, we try these days, we're often trying to find ways to help students learn, young students, kids, learn about science, learn about their environment, while at the same time they're collecting data that can be used for scientific studies. And for example, just monitoring how changes are taking place as we're in this drought now. What's the drought doing to the bosque? What's the drought doing to other systems that kids can help us understand? And they're often better observers than scientists. They have more time and they're willing to get their hands dirty. And sometimes they see things that we don't see. And
exactly, so like finding a dead crawdad in the brush.
Exactly.
Lower to the ground, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's a win-win situation. Kids are learning. They're helping us understand how the environment's changing or varying. And so it's valuable on multiple fronts.
I want to talk a little bit just about policy. Now, I spoke with Dr. Scott Denning from our previous story, and he thinks that policy changes are needed, but won't be enough to bring about large-scale change. And so he thinks that market forces, like what has brought us technological advances in the past few decades through computers, through smartphones, he thinks that those are just as important as policy in order to help us transition to renewable energy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's right. And I would give it a slightly different take. You know, I think a lot of people are looking for the silver bullet when they're trying to solve a problem in Washington or in the State House. And really, when it comes to climate change and the environmental types of environmental change we're seeing now, it's silver buckshot. There are all sorts of solutions. We need policy. We need the federal government to get behind this problem, just as the state governments are starting to do. But we need state governments to step up even more. Las Cruces wants to go all 100% solar, but I was talking to your mayor last night. You know, mm-hmm. He needs the help from Santa Fe. He needs help from Washington
right.
to make it happen. And most of the change that will happen and the benefits of that change will be local. They'll be at the state level. They'll be at the community level. That's where the jobs will be. That's where the better economy will come to. But they need help from higher up the sort of the policy food chain. At the same time, the market is playing a huge role. The reason we don't have coal anymore, and we're not building any more coal-fired plants, and they're closing down in record pace, mm-hmm. is because coal costs too much. Gas is cheaper. Well, it's turning out that renewable energy is now becoming cheaper than gas. So we're not going to see gas plants being built pretty soon. And instead, it's going to be all wind, and it's going to be solar, and we're going to have battery storages and other types of storage, and it'll be a whole new type of energy that will be cheaper than what we grew up with. And that, I think, is going to be what really makes the change, especially when you consider the whole world is going through this transition. And that's the market. It is a global market. We all know how global demand works. It drives down the prices faster than anything.
Are there any other habits that we can form to help make a difference to reduce our carbon footprint or our water usage?
Absolutely. There are many small things that we all can do. And for me, I'm heavily invested in renewable energy. Everything I do, I have a net zero life. Mm-hmm. But I think not everyone can afford that. Right now it's still a little too expensive, and they have other pressing needs. So use less water, less showers, xeriscape instead of putting a lot of water on your landscape. Those kinds of things, use the LED light bulbs. You save money when you do that. I know people like to joke about it, but I save a lot of money because I'm all LED now. But at the same time, we're not going to crack this problem unless we all start to vote to solve climate. In other words, instead of making it sort of the priority number 5 or 6 or 10 like it's been in the past, it has to be priority 1. And we have to do it in a way that creates well-paying jobs for everyone, an opportunity for everyone, whether you're rural or urban, whether you're in the middle of the country or you're on the coast of the country, everybody has to be a winner. And we have to vote for that. And if we do that, we will solve this problem fast enough.
That was Michael Hernandez speaking with University of Michigan climate scientist Dr. Jonathan Overpeck. Watch the full interview at our website, krwg.org, or at the KRWG News YouTube channel.